Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
On the first week of the month, I talked to you about the idea of wholeness and how God intended for us to be whole, and out of that wholeness comes this idea of shalom or peace or even health. Second week, last week, I talked to you about being empowered. When you have wholeness in your life, you have the empowering of God to be able to do the thing that He's created you to do and live a healthy life. Today, I've entitled the new message, The Big Deal, in light of the idea behind discipline. You know that when it comes to health, you cannot go forward without some semblance of discipline. Doctors need a certain discipline in the way they do things. The way we eat and the way we keep nutrition in our lives needs a measure of discipline. The amount of water we drink, the time we sleep, and even our workouts. What people don't realize is that that applies even to our spiritual being. As I've said in previous messages, shalom, nothing broken, nothing missing, peace, therefore health. But inside of that is the nefesh, the side of us that is non-material, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And each of these require a level of discipline. Now, the truth is, we've all been saved by grace. But at some level, after we've been saved by grace, we need a level of discipline to keep the inner corruption in us called sin from taking over once again. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, it explains how to do that. In your struggle against sin, there it is, struggling against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. The simple meaning of this verse is, as we fight sin, we have to give it our best, but the truth of the matter is, most of the time, we don't really have arrived at the point of shedding blood against our sin. He goes on to say in verse 5, and you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. The basic premise here is that discipline is really a source of encouragement. A wrong view of discipline is that discipline is just to make you discouraged. Actually, in this verse it says, it is there to encourage you. It addresses you as a father addresses his son. Discipline, its reality, is actually a measure of relationship. In the second half of the verse, it says, my son, do not make light the Lord's discipline. On the one hand, we may have a tendency to take the Lord's discipline lightly. On the other hand, we may allow it to lose heart or be discouraged by discipline. When we understand the nature, the essence, the purpose of discipline, none of these things will happen to us. In verse 6, it says, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. The purpose of discipline is not to make life harder for us, but because God loves us and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. It is not a coincidence that when we look at the word discipline and the word disciple, they're very akin or very close to one another. Because the truth of the matter is, God wants his disciples to be disciplined. The purpose of discipline is my first point for this message. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 6, it says, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Notice what it says in verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. The Lord wants us to be disciplined because he knows that endurance comes from having discipline. When we endure hardships, God wants us to live a life that is capable of long-term endurance. Our lives are not just a segment, they're actually a marathon. And back in verse 7, it says, endure hardship as discipline. Why? God is treating you as his children. The purpose of discipline is because God wants us to have endurance, and it is the proof of our heritage in God. Further in verse 8, it says, if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline. I used to explain this to my children, that everyone will undergo discipline. The question is, who will discipline you? Is it going to be the Lord? Is it going to be your father? Is it going to be someone who loves you? Or is it someone who doesn't like you? And the point in saying that is, if you're not disciplined, someone will discipline you. Further in the verse, it says, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. In other words, there is a legitimacy to being a child of God, and that is pointed out to you through discipline. Then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. To be illegitimate is something that causes you to be separated from your father. And why? Why is that important? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2 explains. If a person is illegitimate by birth Neither he nor his descendants for 10 generations may be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. If a person of illegitimate birth, this is speaking spiritually here, cannot enter the presence of God. Why is illegitimacy a problem? Because you lose access from the person who can actually teach you and discipline you to be who God has destined you to be. The purpose of discipline, first and foremost, is a proof of your heritage in God, and that proof is when you have endurance in your life. Secondly, it gives you fullness of life. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 9, it says, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. I respect my father for all the discipline that he has done for me. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live?" What he's saying here is that while we have accepted the disciplines of human discipline, our parents, those who love us, how much more should we submit to the discipline of God the Father and let our spirits have life? Notice where it says the word submit or surrender or give in to the Lord's discipline. And in that process, we enjoy living life to its fullness. I've seen a lot of people, both people who follow God or believe in God and people who don't. A lot of them are enthusiastic about buying the latest appliance, application, Bible, gadget, whether for their health, but very few are disciplined. Enthusiasm matters, but discipline is the only thing that will keep you consistent. When you're disciplined, you're not just going to be consistent, you're going to be resilient. And when you are consistent and resilient, you will be competent. When you understand what discipline is and how it works in your life, for your good, because God wants you to have that endurance, you begin to accept, embrace, and receive it as a friend. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best," speaking about parents and the people who love us. They disciplined us for a while as they thought best. But here in the second half of the verse, it says, "But God disciplines us for our good in order that we might share in his holiness." Powerful things here. It says God disciplines us for our good. Why? So we can share in his holiness. Now, first point is the purpose of discipline. It's a proof of our heritage in God. It gives us fullness of life. But the third thing you need to understand about the purpose of discipline is because God allows us to share in his holiness. The whole point of why he wants us to be disciplined is because only then can we share in the fullness of all the good things he has for us. When there is no discipline in our lives, but there is certain things that are without our reach. We can't reach them. They become unreachable. And that's why God wants us to be disciplined, because when we're disciplined, there are certain things that become reachable or accessible to us. Certain places we can't go to when we're not disciplined, and certain places we can go to and become reachable for us when we become disciplined. There are certain people that will not align with us or become relationships with us because they're not reachable, because we don't have the discipline and the character that measures up to the kind of people that they are. Certain skills will be unreachable if we don't have the discipline in our lives, and certain opportunities will be beyond us. No discipline, no destiny. No destiny in God, because that's the purpose of discipline. God's purpose for discipline is it's proof of your heritage in God. It gives you fullness of life and allows you to share in the very holiness. Holiness simply means the cut above the rest, the good things that God wants to have you to have. When we don't have discipline, we miss out on these things. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." That's the fact. And that's my second point. Pain of discipline. Now, while there is the purpose of discipline, there is such a thing as the pain of discipline. It says in the verse that pain is not pleasant at the time. Discipline is not pleasant at the time, but actually painful. Now, when we receive certain pains, we need to understand that this is being given to us so that we learn how to endure. And if we can overcome that pain, our threshold for pain actually grows. A friend of mine sent me this video of his young daughter, biking around. And I was very interested to see how good she was now at the very young age of 4, biking. It reminded me of my granddaughter, who's 3 years old, and because she's also a girl. But as I thought about that, I thought about the moment when there will be times when they're going to fall. When a child learns to endure small doses of pain and summons the inner person to deal with it, they grow. The threshold for fear is because when we don't know how to measure or how to handle the pains in our lives. The more we know how to handle pain, process pain, whether that's mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, relationally, the more we grow. The stronger we are in measuring those pains, our ability progresses because we are able to go to the next level because we've learned that pain is actually a good teacher. Now, the key here is that don't minimize it, don't avoid it, and don't numb yourselves to it. Some people have learned to minimize pain or even avoid it or even numb themselves to it, and that's what a leper is. Somebody who no longer understands the value and the gift and the measure of pain that causes you not just to move to the next level, but to reach the destiny that God has for you. The difference between where you are and where God wants you to be is the pain that you are unwilling to endure. Let me repeat that. The difference between where you are right now and where God wants you to be is the pain that you are unwilling to endure. When you're willing to endure the pain that God allows for you to happen in your life because of discipline and understanding the pain of discipline, that it's not pleasant at the time, but painful. Now, it says further that pain comes in various forms. There's mental pain. There's emotional pain. There's obviously discouragement and the pain of our wills. There's physical pain. There's psychosomatic pain, pain that's imagined. By the way, if you read about that, that's very real. And there's even self-inflicted pain. The idea is to understand your pain. The more you understand your pain, you understand how to process that pain. Processing pain also needs to be, or understanding pain rather, is checking the levels of the scale of that pain. Is it mild? Is it moderate? Is it severe? Or is it intense? For some people, a little ant bite is intense. And that's why their threshold for pain is so low. The more we understand our pain, where is it coming from? And at what level is it? Then the clarity of that allows us to clarify the lessons we're learning. Through the years, every time I encounter pain, I try to understand where the pain is and where it's coming from. And I try to understand the lesson that God is teaching me through this pain. Because one of the greatest teachers that we're going to have is pain, because we will remember it. Years later, the scars will be there, but the pain will be gone and maturity will be with us. Then I pray to God with someone. I ask God to remove the pain when the time is ready, and I also pray with someone to be able to remove this pain from me. And finally, I meditate on a verse to allow me to endure while I'm going through the pain, and I proclaim the healing and the victory in Jesus. One of the joys that I have over the last few months, the beginning of this year, was a young lady, a 22-year-old lady who has a stage 4 cancer that she's going through. It's very important when I talk to her, because I'm always find the patience and the endurance and the fighting spirit that I find in her. I often hear her say something to this effect: pain is temporary, quitting is forever. And we can conquer pain, or it can conquer us. It's an amazing thing. And by the way, Lizelle, let me greet you. She attends this church, and she's such a wonderful woman of God, because I can see that she's going to find victory. And one day, I keep telling her, one day you're going to tell your grandchildren the power of God over your pain. Moving forward, pain of discipline is important to understand. Discipline is not pleasant at the time, but it's actually painful. Pain comes in various forms. And finally, discipline's gains accumulate not over time, but over pain. Whenever discipline's gains accumulate over pain. Let me explain. There's such a thing as spiritual pain, when things are not working the way you want them to work, relational pain, physical pain, obviously, and financial pain. And there's such a thing as the pain of acknowledgement. That's very painful to acknowledge that you're zero level, and that's painful. But if you can overcome that, you can move to the next level of pain. The pain of the struggle is real. This is real. I'm not denying the fact that this is painful to struggle, while I acknowledge that where I am spiritually, relationally, physically, and financially, it's not where I ought to be. But the more you acknowledge that, then you can move to the next level of pain, the pain of minimal results. I wish this thing just had bigger results than I expected, but it's kind of not happening the way I expected it to be. We can overcome that pain. You can go to the next level of pain, the pain of limitations. Then you begin to realize I'm not as good as I thought I was. But when you can overcome that pain, you can go to the next level of pain, which is the pain of setbacks. When things that you expect to happen did not happen the way you expected them to be, you need to overcome that pain. When you overcome that pain, you'll reach the pain of the halfway point. The pain of the halfway point, as they say in every marathon, is when you run fast and you're excited to start and you got halfway point and you realize you're just halfway. When you overcome that pain, you enter the pain of the threshold. When you've broken through the halfway point, but you realize you're still far away. It's good to understand this because this is how endurance works. When you understand the pain of weight, when you keep moving forward and these things gets heavier and heavier, that's painful. But when you can overcome that, you understand the pain of discouragement and why you need a lot of courage to be able to overcome. That comes with discipline. Out of that comes the pain of pressing in and pressing on despite how you feel mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, in every area of your life. By the way, if you intend to get married or are married, you need to listen to this because you're going to need this if you want to last that marriage. That's a fact. And finally, the pain of sustaining. When you haven't gone through all those other pains, you can't sustain because you don't have the endurance. God loves you so much that He's giving you the pain of discipline. It's not pleasant at the time. Pain comes in various forms. It accumulates. Discipline accumulates over pain. My third and final point is the fruit of discipline. Many of us like to see some boxer, some gymnast, some musician, or some professional, a doctor, a businessman. And we like to see the fruit of discipline. But we don't want to see the fruit that started from hardship and pain. But the reality is it takes time to build a life that is disciplined. Hebrews chapter 12 finally comes to a close. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It feels painful for the moment. Later on, it produces a harvest, not a small part, a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The fruit of discipline begins with, it produces a harvest of righteousness. What does that simply mean is, this is what it simply means is, when you have the right character born of enduring the pain of discipline, you will have the right attitude. When you have the right attitude, you will have the right trajectory or direction in life. When you have the right trajectory, you will have the right practices. When you have the right practices, you will have the right life. When you have the right life, you will have a healthy life. Now, take note. You will not have a healthy life if you don't have the right life. And you wouldn't have the right life if you don't have the right practices. And you won't have the right practices if you're headed in the wrong direction or the wrong trajectory. And if you won't have the right trajectory if you don't have the right attitude. And you won't have that attitude if you don't have the right character. The key to that right character is God's spiritual discipline. When we understand this and how it works, it affects us and our health and every facet of our lives. In verse 11, the second half, later on, however, it says, it produces a harvest of righteousness, but not just righteousness, but even of peace. A lot of people don't have peace because their life is not right. When we have the discipline of God in our souls, in our spirits, in our mind, in our wills, in our emotions, we will not just have right living, we will have peace. The fruit of discipline is it produces a harvest of righteousness, but it also produces a harvest of peace. Fact of the matter is, our lives is a confluence. The word confluence simply means rivers flowing. Our minds, our wills, our emotions, and our physical body is a confluence of many parts, but there's a river that's called the Spirit of God that travels inside this river. And that's the way shalom happens. When you have shalom, you have peace. The secret to shalom is discipline. And back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says, later on, however, if you can stand the pain, if you can embrace the purpose of discipline, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The final point is the fruit of discipline includes training. It comes from being trained. Sadly, a lot of people think training is just physical. The reality is, much of training is spiritual. Because when you learn to be trained how to pray, not in a religious way, not talking about that, prayer is pressing into God. Prayer is a deep understanding that in the midst of my pain, by the way, your best prayers will come. Your best prayers will come. And every time you avoid that, you just weaken yourself. And every time you meditate on that word and insist that that word is more powerful than any pain that you're going through, you're going to be strong. When you learn to proclaim the victory that you have in Christ, and you learn how to fellowship with other believers who have the strong threshold for pain, you will be trained. I started this series of messages by talking to you about wholeness. And I explained that wholeness empowers you. And I'm bringing it home today by explaining discipline. Shalom, peace. You're not going to have it, this health, without these three things working in your life. As I close, let me review. The purpose of discipline is proof of your heritage in God. It gives you fullness of life. It allows you to share in all of the good things that God has in store for you. The pain of discipline is not pleasant at the time, but painful. Pain comes in various forms, and discipline's gains accumulate not over time, but over pain. The fruit of discipline is it produces a harvest of righteousness. It also produces a harvest of peace. And finally, it comes from being trained. Join me now as we proclaim Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Pick up a piece of bread and a cup as you join me in this word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving us from the clutches of sin, slavery, and death. It is our desire to see the fullness of your salvation manifested in our life completely, even in our health. And just as your word has shown us, we know we have to embrace your discipline to see shalom or wholeness in our lives. Help us to embrace pain as a friend and teacher, and that it is not pleasant at the time we experience it in its different forms. And as we do, we trust that its gains will accumulate and produce a harvest of righteousness and peace as we have become trained. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.